ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri, on this fifth Sunday in Lent. Our hymns are 686, 588, 543, 575, 594, 724, 685. And the Lord's sermon is entitled, "Oh, How He Loved," is taken from John 11. We welcome you to sing with us. We sing our opening hymn this morning. In number 686.
Good morning. Happy to be here with you all this morning. Today we are here reminded of God's gracious love that He has towards us, that He continues every day and every week to give Himself fully to us. And as we'll see, not only does His love cover a multitude of sins, but also we will see that it has the power even to overcome death itself. And may we this morning rejoice in this love, singing our first hymn together, number 686. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Glory be to the Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. The Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves, and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves, and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time I invite the children forward for a children's message.
Thank you.
morning. It is wonderful to be with you today as we get to learn more about the love of God. But I want to start by asking kind of a sad question. Have you ever had someone close to you, someone who you love so much, ever die? Yeah, that's a terrible thing we have to go through. And of course, that just makes us so sad. We might cry. We might be led to pray, asking for God's help, asking for His peace. We might be even led to ask why. Well, a long time ago, there was a friend of Jesus whose name was Lazarus, and he got sick, and he died as well. And his sisters and his friends, they were all just really sad. They were afraid that they were never going to see him again. You know, the problem was that they were so sad in their heart that they lost sight of who Jesus is and the promises that he has made. You know, Jesus, he is God, right? And that means Jesus, God, he can do anything. And that includes raising Lazarus from the dead, even though he died. And you know what? Jesus did exactly that. 4 days later, after his body already started to smell, Jesus called him from the tomb. He just said, "Lazarus, come out." And it was a miracle. Lazarus just came out. But you know what? Before Jesus did all of that, he asked an important question to Martha, Lazarus' sister. And he asked him, "Martha, do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that whoever believes in me shall live even though he dies? Do you believe that he who believes in me will never die?" These were really hard questions that Martha was faced with, but you know what? She answered so well. She loved Jesus and she believed in him, and she knew that Jesus, though he was God, because he was God, could raise Lazarus from the dead. And you know what? God proved that. Not just by raising Lazarus later on, but right there before their very eyes, Jesus shows everyone present that he has the power to raise all the dead. And so we can rejoice that God still has the power over death. And he promises that the day is coming when everyone who we love, who has believed in Jesus, everyone who's died in the faith, God promises that he will one day rise them. And he's going to rise us too. When we confess our sins and when we believe and call upon him, God is so gracious. He has given us these precious promises. And this gives us, of course, joy that we have a God of life. Well, would you please join me in a word of prayer? We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are the God of the living, and that you continue to call us to walk in the light and to walk in life. We thank you for overcoming sin and death for us. Just comfort us with this truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Well, thank you so much. You can go back to your seats and grab a piece of candy. In the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn, number 543. what wondrous love is this, O my soul? People have been asking that question about Jesus for nearly 2,000 years now. They see his works and they marvel at his love. Now, you and I feel like we have some sort of advantage over those who lived in Jesus' day, because we can look back upon the entirety of his life. We know things about his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and now we even know things about his ascension. And in every direction we look, we must just be compelled to ask, what wondrous love is this? But it's interesting, though, that even people in Jesus' day were compelled to ask that very same question themselves. Complete strangers, people who didn't know anything about him, even these were led to marvel at his love. It seems like anyone who just spent 5 minutes with Jesus was eventually led to ask, what wondrous love is this? They didn't know the story behind his birth. They were strangers to the idea of Jesus dying on the cross for their sins. And frankly, they had no conception of an ascension. That's why it's interesting to look at the people in Jesus' day. Because before knowing any of that, people could spend just 5 minutes with him and conclude, behold how he loves. If you would look at verses 35 and 36 again of our gospel reading, here we have the shortest verse of the entire Bible, followed by an exclamation of bewilderment. Verse 35 says that Jesus wept. And seeing this, the bystanders exclaimed, see how he loved him. Surely, dear friends, these were no artificial tears. This was no overly dramatic show, as if he was playing soccer in the World Series. This wasn't some sort of over-the-top, Oscar-winning play-acting. These were genuine, heart-wrenching tears, which led even strangers to marvel at that deep-seated love. And I know this wasn't play-acting, because if you look at the Greek word, that definition literally says to weep silently. And its second definition says to shed quiet but actual tears. Jesus was never interested in fooling and convincing people. He just allowed his own work and his own love to speak for themselves. You know, a kid cries, and many times they will wail simply because they want attention and sympathy. They're trying to convince you of something. They see some other kid crying and ended up with this cool band-aid and kisses. And so now they begin crying, wanting the same kind of treatment. I'm sure every parent has experienced it, where a kid cries just because they want that band-aid for their otherwise perfectly healthy arm. But again, that's not how Jesus wept. He wept quietly, wept grievously, not for attention or show, but because, in the words of the onlookers, how he loved him. Now, the onlookers, though, they weren't the only ones who come to understood the love of Christ. Look back to verse 3. Before any of this even took place, Mary and Martha, they already knew that Jesus loved Lazarus. When they sent messengers to go tell Jesus about him, they didn't appeal to him arguing that Lazarus loved him. But they said, "Lord, the one whom you love is sick." And what a wonderful truth that is when we stop trying to appeal to God's goodness based upon our own love for Him, but we appeal to Him based on His love towards us. Now, my love can be fickle and feeble. It's certainly not a good foundation upon which to trust. But God's love for me is fixed and firm. It's not susceptible to the ebbs and flows. Rather, it is just this constant torrent which leads one to say, "Oh, how He loves me." There's one other place in Scripture where we see Jesus weeping. When He comes to Jerusalem that final time, it is said that He wept there also. Now, there's a story that Socrates, who is called the father of philosophy, he was eventually charged with corrupting the minds of the youth. And the governors and leaders of Athens sentenced him to death. And as the story goes, the executioner wept over him. He handed Socrates the poisoned hemlock and he just cried as he did so. We see the executioner weeping over the condemned. But here in Jesus, see how He flips the table. How that's so remarkable. Because it's not the executioner that's lamenting over the condemned, but it is the condemned, Jesus, who is weeping over His executioners. See how He loves them. What wondrous love is this? Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, not because they plan to kill Him, but because they wouldn't allow Him to protect, to care for, and to love them. Jesus says right after that, "How I have longed to gather you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not let me." Jesus weeps when people reject Him because He loves them. And knowing that doing so is only going to be for their own harm. It's not because He's prideful or vain that He says, "You shall have no other gods." But it's because He has a love for that sinner. And He sees what sin does to a man. In fact, here in the story, we see what sin does when it's in full bloom. The wages of sin is death. And here we see it illustrated now in Lazarus, who now lays before Him dead. Well, it's at the grave of Lazarus when Jesus wept. And it was then that His grief was made so manifest that the onlookers were led to say, "Behold how He loved." But for us, dear friends, what a privilege that we have, that we're not limited to Jesus' tears to learn how much He loves us. But truly, we have been invited to look much farther into God's heart today as they ever could before. What evidences of love do we enjoy, which ought to make us sing all the more? For if the Jews, prompted by His tears, were unable to keep in their bewilderment, speaking it to one another in amazement, then how much more ought we be led to exclaim, "What wondrous love is this?" And to say, "Behold how He loves us." I know it's a familiar story, but it's one that even the angels marvel at. How the Almighty God left heaven's throne to be born in Bethlehem. The infinite God becoming a finite child. what condescension that God Almighty should become bone of our bones and flesh of our flesh. Now, for an angel to stoop so low as to become a bug, we would say that that would be a mighty act of condescension. And yet that is nothing compared to the condescension which Jesus partook in. For infinitely greater is the gap between God and man than exists the gap between an angel and a beetle. For God, who says that the heavens themselves could not contain him, who was gloriously enthroned in the praises of Israel, surrounded by angelic hosts of servants, he becomes an offspring of Adam. And it said that all our infirmities Jesus took upon himself. He subjects himself to hunger sores, to aching feet, to a palpitating heart. Truly, as Isaiah says, he has borne our sicknesses. This is a wondrous love that the blessed Son of God, who needed not to suffer, was willing to take on our suffering. He walks the cursed ground. He breathes that poisoned air. He opens himself to be tempted and tried as any other man. Tempted in every way, the scripture says, and yet remained without sin. And oh, how he loves us. Behold the proof of his love and his self-condescension. We may look even deeper than this into the heart of God when we think next about his patience. Because truly, the Lord is long-suffering. I want you to think for just a moment upon the Lord's patience in regard to our denial and rejection of him. In the days of our youth and in the days of our childish longings, how kindly the good Lord dealt with us. He just simply called out again and again to return to him. And yet it seems like we would never go. We ought to marvel now that the Lord has waited for us so long. We left him with his arms wide open for an embrace, and yet we never came. What a wonder that he didn't grow tired or weary of our rejection. Men usually don't press their charity upon the needy. In fact, more often than not, unless you're close friends with the other, we generally turn a blind eye to the needy. We're much more inclined to overlook them and to make excuses. God does press his charity upon the needy and upon all who scoff at him and insult him. The gracious Lord doesn't take no for an answer. People have made up all sorts of excuses for not coming to the great banquet, but he presses them with all the more invitations. He sends out messengers to go out into all the world, telling them to compel them to come in. The Lord simply presses his good favor upon the undeserving children of men. And with all our wanderings and waywardness, with all of our testing of his patience, his love has only proven to be more enduring, and it burns as passionately today as it did when we first believed. And finally, once more, we look now to the greatest proof of God's love. That pinnacle of love is seen in this. When Jesus takes upon himself the sins of the world, and when he gives himself up to die the felon's death. To think of one so pure as to not look upon evil, would so freely and willingly take upon sin himself. So much so as to lead Isaiah again to say, "Upon him was laid the iniquity of us all." Such a load of wickedness stared him in the face, and yet the loving Lord hesitated not to take it all upon himself. What a wondrous love is this! It's a mighty act of love when we see Jesus espouses to make us his own beloved bride. And that is all the more true when we consider that great debt that we each carried ourselves. Because of sin, we are bankrupt debtors. But still does Christ love us without wavering. I've heard stories of engaged couples where a fiancé is too scared to share their financial history with their partner. They say that they don't want their partner to know that they have tens of thousands of dollars worth of student loan debt and they have maxed out credit cards. They keep it a secret from their partner until after the wedding day, fearing that if they had known sooner, they would call off the wedding. And how frequently that nightmare actually does play out in the real world, where a fiancé discovers that their partner has a debt that they will be swimming under for decades, and so they call off the wedding. They can't imagine willingly taking up a wife or husband with such a massive debt that will follow them wherever they go. And yet, dear friends, such is the surpassing love of the Lord. Behold how he loves. There was a debt laid upon each of us which no one could even have begun to pay off. A debt of sin and death. A debt that would even follow us into the grave. Such was our liabilities that even an eternity in hell couldn't even pay down what we owed. But what a wondrous love is this. What do we see other than the mighty God entering into that very same covenant relationship with us? He longingly awaits the marriage feast where the two shall become one flesh. He loves so much that nothing can deter him from taking us into himself, flinching not even at our baggage. He is so full of love, rather, that he commits himself to us for an eternity. Even death shall not separate us from the love of God. It's as Paul says, not height nor depth, not famine or sword, not rulers or principalities, not even death itself can prove to be a wedge between the Lord and you. For as he says, what God joins together, let no man separate. How he loves, giving himself to us and for us. He's a glorious husband who takes our debts. Though we could not pay them, behold, the infinite God pays it with his own precious blood. And he gives himself fully at it, from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot, to be our ransom. I just love that thought that God's love is stronger than death. And that we ourselves will one day be called out of our graves. Like we saw with Lazarus, we too shall experience when the voice of God shouts from the heavens. And with a roar of thunder from the east to the west, the graves of the dead will be opened. What a mighty and grand day that will be. And truly, when he brings us to heaven's gates to be forever with the Lord, our common refrain will always be this: oh, how he loves us. Amen. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Please stand. Pray. Loving Father, you are wonderful and good, and great is your faithfulness as you continue to work your works of love in our hearts and lives. We thank you for being so merciful as you daily and richly bless us with all that we need for body and soul. We thank you for providing for all of our needs and lead us in thankfulness as we trace all good things back to your hands. We thank you for house and home, for food and drink, family and friends, for work and for all that we have. Thank you for surrounding us with the needs of this life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of all grace, as we reflect upon your love for us, especially when you sent your Son to die for us, lead us to enjoy full assurance of your goodness. Help us to trust fully and confidently in you, and with your Spirit, prompt us to so live in light of this truth. Help us to carry it in our hearts and minds, and when you lead us through trials, help us to recall your mighty love, which says to us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty God, as you love and work for us, using all things together for our good, lead us to love and work for your kingdom's sake also. As you love us, lead us into works of love ourselves, and put within us a passion to do good works to our friends and neighbors. Christian love, help us to support our brothers and sisters in the faith, in both body and soul, taking care of the least of these, and making sure that everyone is cared for in body and soul. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, as you are love, you are our refuge and strength. And to you we may run for rest, life, and healing. As you bid us to come to you, so do we also bring to your glorious throne those who are hurting. We lift them before you this morning, especially praying for Joyce Eckhoff, who's been in the hospital this past week. We thank you for the healing that you have brought to her so far with her inflamed colon. And we humbly ask that you continue to have mercy upon her and continue to give her strength. Also, do we continue our prayers for Randy Brandt, asking for your loving eyes to look upon him also. Continue to grant healing and peace to both him and to Janet. And likewise, be with the family and friends of Ron McBee. Surround them with your truth. Give them the assurance of life. And remind all that you are the God of the living. And lastly, be with Bill Gassaw, who has some lumps. We ask that you would continue to give him your peace and healing. Surround all of your servants, Heavenly Father, with your love, and give them your peace and joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is meet and right so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ which is given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ which is given for you. The Lord bless you and keep you in the true faith. May he strengthen you to life everlasting. Go in his peace. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the true body of Christ which is given for you. This is the true body of Christ given for you. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. This is the true body of Christ, given for you. The Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal faith. May he strengthen you to life everlasting. You can go in his peace. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal faith. You can go in his peace. Amen. This is the true body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. May the Lord strengthen you in the true faith. May he bring you to everlasting life. You can go in his peace. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ for you. The Lord bless you and keep you in the true faith. May he strengthen you to life everlasting. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ, which is given for you. And may the Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal faith. May he strengthen you to life everlasting. You can go in his peace and joy. Amen. This is the true body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal faith. May he strengthen you to life everlasting. You can go in his peace. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. The Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal faith. May he strengthen you to life everlasting. Amen. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the true body of Christ, which is given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the true body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ, which is given for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal faith. May he strengthen you to life everlasting. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you in the true faith. May he strengthen you to life everlasting. Moment. He's going to sit there. See, if you would take and eat the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ, which is given for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you in the true faith. May he strengthen you to life everlasting. You can go in his peace. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the true body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the true body of Christ given for you. This is the true body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you both in the true faith. May he strengthen you to life everlasting. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ which is given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Chuck, take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Given for you. Would you please stand? May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. May depart with his peace and with his joy. Amen. Father and and his mercy endures forever. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
May be seated for our departing hymn 685.
Awesome.